L-E-D-E-N-E-T.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Second hour, Darren Dominick and Chase here on this Thursday morning. Titans and Colts tonight at Nissan Stadium. Every Thursday at this time. Don't forget Silly Underdogs coming up at high noon. We bring in the GM, Floyd Reese, who can be heard starting at 2 o'clock today. It is our 2 o'clock, 2 to 6 guest that can be heard every Monday through Friday on Thursdays on the show. Paul Feinbaum at 10:15, now Floyd Reese at 11 o'clock, and we do this every Thursday. Big deal, not a big deal, just part of it. Everybody's got to play on Thursday night, but truly, how difficult is it to have that quick turnaround? I realize your opponent's got to do the same thing, but take us behind the scenes. Big deal, not a big deal.
No, it's a big deal. I mean, it's hard. Now, it's gotten to the point where we do it so often because everybody, you know, has to play that I think you're acclimating yourselves to it a little bit. But, I mean, you know, the traditional week, you go out, and, you know, on a Monday, if you're a coach, you break down the film and maybe you look at basic, you know, the offense and defense for the next opponent. Then Tuesday, you get into the workday and maybe you do first down, second and six plus, you know, whatever it may be. Then on Wednesday, you do, you know, another area, and then Thursday, you get into goal line short yardage, and then you get, well, all of that has to be condensed into 2 days. You know, you really, I mean, things are pushed way, way back. So from a coaching standpoint, of course, you're working double meetings. You're getting double the amount of information. You're trying to decide what you can feed the players and have them hopefully, you know, kind of dissolve and be able to use, and what they're just going to blow away, you know, blow off. And so it's a real structural, tense, you know, compact time. And the same thing's true for the players. You know, the players have a routine where, you know, on a certain day I lift and a certain day I go to the masseuse and a certain day I, you know, go to the therapist and a certain day. Well, now all that's condensed into a couple of days.
Guys, at the end of the show yesterday, remember I was trying to think, and I haven't looked up to see if this is true or not, but I thought of his name, and it felt like this was the name I was looking for. But like I said, I don't know if this is the correct answer or not. But remember at the end of the show yesterday, the guy that, you know, went from the Titans to the Colts, and then they cut him right afterwards. And Mike Eccles, I guess, Jared said something to you in a text, Chase, and I was like, yeah, that doesn't – That may have happened, but that's not the guy I was thinking of. It right, but Nick Harper was the guy I was thinking of yesterday. Did that happen?
Well, Nick Harper was on
Nick
the team
Harper
for a
went
while, though.
To the Titans from the Colts. He signed.
Okay, but
signed
it was, okay,
the
so that was
an
off-season move.
That was an off-season free agent.
Okay,
pickup.
So it wasn't the guy that I was looking for. So tell us about that, Floyd. You know, here when you have guys switch rosters, and they know a lot about a guy, how much can you really learn from them during the course of the week leading up to that game? How much of that really goes on behind the scenes?
Yeah, I think if you bring in a guy that is really knowledgeable, let's say you brought in Logan Ryan, you know, somebody that's been there a while, that knew the coordinator, had played for the coordinator, knew the defense, knew their guy, there would be things you would pick up. And they would be able to tell you, okay, you know, against a three-receiver bunch set, they won't ever run man-for-man. Or if they do run man-for-man, they will always play it this way. You know, I think you can go through and there'll be things that will pop out and stick out that might help you. The absolute most information you would get would be on the personnel. You know, he would be able to come and he would be able to, in detail, probably tell you about the receivers. you know, in detail, tell you about the tight end, tell you about the quarterback, what he likes, what he doesn't like, some things like that that might benefit you. Now, you have to be really, really careful because, you know, the guy you can bring in can be talking a lot and not telling you anything or telling you wrong information. When I was coaching special teams, it was so amazing because we would have, you know, pressure on a punt, let's say. So I'd grab the guard. I thought the pressure was over the guard, and I'd grab the guard, and I'd say, you know, what happened? Where'd your guy go? He'd say, oh, I blocked him. Stopped him at the line of scrimmage. Okay, and you go to the tackle. Where'd your guy go? Oh, I blocked him. Stopped him at the line of scrimmage. Turn the tape on the next day. They both missed their blocks, you know. But they're going to tell you what they thought they did. And I think that's the case here, too. You know, you got to be careful. They're not giving you some BS. Generally speaking, I don't think people rely on that much. You know, like I said, there is the exception. There's the exception with a really, really bright, you know, educated meaning he's been with the team for a long time, understands the system, maybe understands the coordinator. Maybe that helps.
But you don't think they've leaned on Desmond Keane a lot this week because he went up against Rivers every day in practice?
I would think now Desmond will know Rivers. You know, he'll have, but the opposite of that is true, too. And Rivers will know where King is strong and weak. And so, you know, I think that'll be interesting to see how that plays out. Now, how much of that can you convey? You know, how much can King tell and help Butler? You know, really, probably not much. You know, Butler's going to be on a different guy, and King won't know a great deal about him. Maybe the coordinator, maybe he can get, you know, a coverage that that Rivers really, really dislikes or particularly likes, or what he likes to throw in a certain situation, that kind of stuff. Maybe you can get. But, again, I think you'd have to be a little bit careful.
It looks like all signs are pointing toward Corey Davis playing tonight, even though he lost his brother Titus Davis to cancer this week. Do you remember situations like that? That's obviously a very delicate situation. Everybody grieves differently. Some players, they absolutely want to suit up and still play, even though they've had a tough situation, maybe losing a family member throughout the course of the week leading up to a game. Some do not. Did you ever have any cases like that over the years?
You know, we had a case when we were in Houston where one of our players, a well-liked player, committed suicide. And you know, we had to kind of work through that very gingerly. You know, it's there is no right answer. It's what, you know, what can we do to help you? Well, if you're talking about like Corey, there may be something they can do to help him. But when you're talking about 60 or 65 or 70 guys, you know, you just whatever is soothing for one, you know, won't help the other. And so we had to really, really work at kind of getting through that and you know, trying to group guys to where maybe we could help four or five guys that were kind of grieving the same way. But, yeah, that's very, very delicate. And like I said, for Corey, you know, whatever Corey thinks is best for him, I think is probably the right call. You know, I'm not sure there's a wrong call there.
Talking to Floyd Reese, said Floyd, one thing I looked at, the Titans are number one in the league at turnover differential. The Colts, while they have turned it over a lot, they've also caused a lot of turnovers. How did you look at that stat? If your team's sitting high like that, are you saying, man, we're really good at not turning over, this is what we do? Or is part of you worried that it'll come back to the pack a little bit?
Yeah, no, that's in my opinion, that's like the most important stat in football, in turnovers. And if you can rank up there, you know, plus 10, you're going to be at least 6-2. You know, if you're minus 10, you're probably going to be 2-6. And so I think that is really, really good. Now you know, you look at it, like I think we're doing a great job of getting some turnovers on defense, and it totally changes, in my opinion, the personality of not only the team, but certainly the defense. When they can do something that they know is a big play and that is going to help them. And, you know, like the couple of plays last week, I mean, we right off the bat on the fourth and one, when we stop them, that was a huge play from a, from an emotional, morale, confidence kind of standpoint. And then when King picks up the ball and runs it in, you know, for seven, I mean, those plays are just gigantic. And the opposite of that is true, too. You know, you make a mistake like the week before, you know, we go right down and Tannehill throws that ugly interception first series right off the bat in the end zone, and things go the wrong way. So I am really, really big on that stat, and I'm a firm believer in, you know what, if you can win the turnover battle every game, it probably increases your chance to win the game. I don't know. You know, 35-40%, something giant number.
I heard you guys talking to Teron about this yesterday. I think that you guys hit on it, and we did yesterday as well. To me, this game really starts with, can the Titans do their thing running the ball against this front? The Colts are really, really good up front. You know, Buckner and those guys. Can Henry do his thing? We know he's going to have to work for it, but can they run the ball well enough to be able to execute their offense?
And I think that's the key phrase, well enough. You know, we've almost grown to the point that, you know, if Derek doesn't rip off a 60-yarder, he's having a bad day. And I think in a game like this, the way they play defense, that's going to be very unlikely. It doesn't mean that averaging 4.2 yards a carry might be the most important stat of the game. And that's where I think it's going to make a difference. You know, if we can, we have to stay ahead of the chains on offense. Against a team like this, if you don't, when you get behind the chains, by that I mean, you know, first and 10, second 11. Well, if you get into second 11 for us and with this defense, it's going to be really, really hard. If you can get to, if you're lucky enough to get to a second and four, second and five, you're in great shape. So I think this game, when we measure the running game, I think we're going to have to measure it that way. Okay, how do we do on first down and second down so that we get to third down? It's third and three. It's third and two. We can do that. We can convert those. Third and nine, third and 10, third and 11 against this defense. I mean, your chances of being successful are almost gone. So I think that will be the important number when we're talking about this running game.
How did you look at it when let's take the example of T.Y. Hilton, a guy that's had a lot of success against the Titans over the years. We know what type of player he is, but he has been banged up. He's had this groin pull. He says he's playing. Everybody's saying he's playing. But so when a guy steps out on the field, how do you look at a guy like that? Do you have to get a feel for what he looks like? How close are you watching him? Because if it's T.Y. Hilton of old, that's a guy that can change the game. But if he's hurting, like he has been for a lot of this season, then he's certainly not the same player he has been.
Yeah, I agree. And I think and you're exactly right. That's what you do. I mean, pregame warm-up, all of those kinds of things. When you're watching drills, you're watching the 7-on-7, you are focused on him. You know, what can he and can't he do? Did you see him, you know, sprint? Did you see him turn it loose? Maybe he can, maybe he can't. But you would really, really get a strong look at him, because I think you hit it on the head. I mean, he has been a thorn on our side for so many years. And those guys, when they've had as much success against a team as he has against us, I mean, your confidence just skyrockets, you know. Oh, the Titans. All right, here we go.
I play well against them, yeah.
You know, I feel pretty good about this. I'm going to go out there, and he's thinking, okay, there's nobody that's covered me the last couple of years. There's nobody out here going to cover me. You know, let's go have a big day. So you're going to have to, I think you're going to watch. I mean, in my mind, he's going to have to prove to me he's not the same. Until then, I'm assuming he's the guy that's killed us every year.
Floyd Reese is with us 2 to 6 weekdays here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. You brought up earlier some of the stops that the defense made last week, and you know, yes, it's a completely different offensive line. It was a different offense in Chicago, but the confidence has to be there. Clowney appears to be in the lineup. He's dealing with the knee, but what have you seen that's good from him this year that you think that they can build upon and potentially help them tonight?
You know, I think you're seeing what everybody has said about him. Maybe not to the extent that we've seen it in the past, but the same thing. I mean, he is not a pass rusher. I mean, he's never really been a pass rusher. You know, does that mean he can put pressure on him? Yeah, he can. You know, he can do, you know, he's versatile. But I think everybody that has talked about him has used the word disruptive. And I think that's what you're hoping for. You know, we've seen him a couple of times. I want to say maybe a couple of weeks ago, cause a fumble like real early in the game. Do some things like that to really, really help us. Knock the ball carrier back, make it second and 14. You know, those kinds of things. So I think that's what you're hoping for as much as anything else. I don't, Jared with us, of course, you know, Clowney's one of his favorite pet peeves. And, you know, if you mention the name Clowney, that segment is gone. Because he's going to gripe about Clowney for 15 minutes. But, I mean, Clowney is what I thought we were getting, you know.
Right.
So I can't get mad at him. You know, people are saying, well, what about the pressure? I mean, he's never been that. So, you know, what made us think he was going to be that for us? But, you know, and I keep hoping. It seems like during his career there's always a handful of games, two or three games during the year, where he just absolutely lights it up. San Francisco last year, I don't know if you remember that game, but, you know, got a sack, caused a fumble. Yep. I think maybe even ran a ball in for a touch or just – you know, and so I'm thinking, hey, tonight, national TV, Thursday, you know, didn't do anything last week. Maybe tonight's that night.
So one of the things that I believe is the key in this is rattling Rivers. And Rivers is, you know, a veteran. He's done this at a high level for a long time, but he's not the same Philip Rivers. When you've watched him at times this year, and maybe even going back to last year, what is it that some teams are doing to rattle him and, you know, that phrase of getting inside his head a little bit?
Yeah, I think pressure, of course, is always the number one thing, and his mobility is getting worse and worse, as we saw him try to make that tackle last week on the fumble. But you know, he's not the same athlete. We know that. He doesn't have the same arm strength he once has. We know that. He is a smart football player, a wily vet that going into a game like this will use every little bit of information that he's, you know, kind of put together over the years against us. I think he's 7-2 against us, you know, so he's played us pretty darn well. And for whatever reason, you know, he's had some success. So he's going to put that all together and come out here and hopefully not be put in a situation where he's got to throw the ball 45 times. You know, what they would like to do, in my opinion, on their offense and what we do on offense, they would like to do, you know, much the same things that we do. They'd like to be able to run the ball effectively, play action pass, have Rivers go out and throw the ball 25, 30 times, and complete, you know, 20 of those for two touchdowns, no turnovers, they win. And that's kind of the way we look at it, you know, with Ryan. So I think that's what they're trying to do. Now, when he gets in a situation where he's got to throw the ball 40, 45 times, I mean, the chances of him making a mistake, because he's got a little bit of that gunslinger still in him, you know. And I've always believed that once you have that, it's you never, ever get rid of it. Now, you can curb it a little bit, but you don't get rid of it. And so, you know, if he's got to go out there and throw it 40 times, I think the chances of him making a mistake really increase.
Floyd, do you feel with AJ and Corey, the way that they have been used this year, and I know, you know, AJ was out, Corey was out on the COVID list, but since they've been back and playing in the same games, do you like how they have both been used, whether it's one has a bigger game than the other, one's targeted more than the other, or it could also be a defense is keyed in on one, so the other one is available. Do you like how Arthur Smith and Ryan Tannehill have used them to this point, or do you think that there's more that can be done?
Well, I'm hoping there's a lot more that can be done, you know, to be honest. I mean, for whatever reason, it seems like we have to choose one every week. And instead of saying, no, we can both go out there and we can both catch seven or eight passes and you know, we might not both get 100 yards, but if one gets 80 and one gets 90, I think we're probably happy. But it seems like it's all or none. You know, we've got to make a choice. Okay, it's Corey's turn today. All right, he goes out and gets 140. Well, today it's AJ's turn. He's going to go out and get 140. We can both do that. And that's what, you know, I feel like we're missing something with that, because those guys are, I mean, they've done it enough. We've seen them be productive enough to know that we should be able to get those guys both into the game. And neither one of them, and that's just my opinion, you know, neither one of them, I think, are at a level where they're deserving of snap in, snap down, snap out, double teams. You know, that's not happening. And so you're saying there are going to be times where they're singled up, or there are going to be times it's a zone and they're running a crossing route and they just got to find a hole and sit and let me get the ball to them. But it seems like we're having a heck of a time getting them both juiced up at the same time.
He is the GM. Floyd Reese will be on with Jared Stillman and Chris Sanders later on today, starting at 2 o'clock as they get you ready for Titans and Colts on Thursday Night Football. Appreciate it as always, Floyd.
Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
We will talk to him again next week, Thursdays at 11. Silly Underdog Picks coming up at high noon, but we'll have more on the Titans and the Colts on Thursday night when we come back. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
We agree. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase, brought to you by Blue Note Juke Joint. Smoother than smooth. Let's transition from the GM, Floyd Reese, talking about the Titans and Colts tonight at Nissan Stadium, to the other professional franchise in town. And let's talk to the president and CEO, Sean Henry, of the Nashville Predators. He is on the line, and he's got good news about more ice in our area. Sean, how the heck are you?
I'm good, man. But I always get scared of a buildup like that. When I heard Sean Henry has good news, I was like, uh-oh, what is it?
What am I announcing?
Thank you for the reminder. More ice is more ice. Good news.
I don't think you forgot about the good news today. This is kind of a big deal in Clarksville.
You know, it's a big deal for us right here, you know, the heart of Smashville and Nashville, and of course for Clarksville too, because it allows us to continue our growth, not just with, you know, our brand and hockey and this great sport and with Scott Hamilton, but also allows us to expand our reach and, you know, have better connections with Austin Peay, with the military base, and with one of the fastest growing cities and counties in the state. So it's so exciting.
I got to be honest. I want to know what happened. You know, you're such a big fish, and I'm so used to seeing you on the list of speakers, and I see Danny Butler, of course. He deserves to be a speaker for this, right? General manager for all the Ford Ice Centers. I see the mayor of Clarksville. I see the AD at Austin Peay. Where is the prez and the CEO? I mean, you're not speaking today?
Dude, I didn't get the list. I guess they were afraid I'd go long. no, you know what? It's we have a great staff, as you know, and Danny Butler, who, you know, has been responsible for our growth for all of our rinks, and this project is different. It's not just rink, you know, it's a mini arena as well. He's the guy that should be speaking. I mean, he brought it to life for us. He was the passion behind it. And then the other is, I guess, in you know me, I'm an honest guy. I talk too much. I'm self-isolated. I'm quarantined for a small window. Both my daughters are home from school because one of them may have had some close exposure to COVID. So we're locked down as a family. I get released tomorrow, though. So be on the lookout for me hitting the roadways.
Well, I apologize up front. I did not know that. I didn't know if you wanted to put that out there or not. So that is on me. You know, it is interesting.
No, it's all right. No, it's not on you. It's on COVID-19. It just shows how disruptive it is to all of our lives, right?
I know. You know what's interesting, Sean, that you bring that up? So we just had our end-of-the-year baseball get-together, which was an incredibly long season, right? Everything was all just smashed into one very, very long season when we weren't even sure we were going to play in 2020. And we had, believe it or not, no hiccups with none of our kids. I mean, these are 8 and 9-year-olds, but nothing. Nobody missed any practices or any tournaments, anything. And now that we're done, and we've been done, and we had this wrap-up party the other night, what you just said, we had two families that could not attend because of exposure at school, and they're in lockdown because of that. And I just thought, you know, I even said that to everybody, like, how did we go through this entire long season and have none of that affect us, which I'm happy about, and now we're doing our end of the year get together, and now it's affecting family. So you just never know, right?
It's affected us all right now, and unfortunately, it's just going in the wrong direction. It's exploding right now, so that's why we're so strong on mask up. You know, we've gotten our masks out to everybody, but if we all want to return to normalcy and get back to what we like doing, that's getting a lot of people together in one place. We got to wear masks a little bit more because this thing is awful. But I'm glad you guys finished the season because I lived vicariously through your wife's pictures and your pictures of your son playing this year. I felt like I was at every game. So I'm glad you guys won the championship as well, by the way. Looks like you had a great season.
We did. And we're very, as you can tell, we're proud parents. And I'm a proud coach.
You
should
be. No, seriously. It was fun to see so many youth sports be able to happen, you know, this summer. And maybe that summer got extended into October. But It's just good for the kids.
Yeah. Well, thanks for saying that. Speaking of masks, everyone will be wearing their masks today in Clarksville. And your dealings with a guy like Gerald Harrison and Austin Peay, the AD, and just the people in that community, what was the difference? And look, there's so many communities, as you know, we've talked about this with you so many times over the years, and you and Danny and your entire staff, everybody's reaching out, hey, we need ice too. Why was this the right next move?
Well, Gerald's been great to work with, and you talk about a visionary athletic director. He is it for Austin Peay, and there are so many better days on the horizon for a really good program already. But the key ingredient was a dynamic political leader, and that's Mayor Durrett. I've never been around a politician that loves his city or area or county more than him. And when we started talking about this, gosh, 8, 9 years ago, and then with him about 7 years ago, it never wavered. It was, we're going to get this done, and this is why, and it's going to be right, and it's going to be special. And like I tell everyone that reaches out, hey, how can we not build one in Murfreesboro, Williamson County? Pick the city. And I always say, well, let's do it, but it's on you to reach out to your elected officials, council members, mayors, board, whatever it may be, and say, this is what I want, and this is why I want it. We want to see the same thing happen that happened in Antioch and Bellevue and now up in Montgomery County. It's happened right here in my town. It happens because you have citizens that jump forward and get loud, and it happens with dynamic leadership. And it was Carl Dean that did it with us, and then we saw that through with Mayor Cooper right here in our own city. And then Mayor Durrett, he is a force of nature, and it's been so much fun to work with him and then work with Gerald. But the constant has been Mayor Durrett. You know, Gerald was the athletic director that came in to push it over the finish line. And without him, I don't know if it happens, you know, with a 6,000-seat arena. Maybe it's just ice. But he said, no, let's do something really cool. But, again, there's no reason not to have one of these in every single town in the state. But it really does start with people listening, calling, not me, not you, not Danny Butler, but calling their mayor or council person saying, why not us? Why are we not doing this? We've yet to say no to any municipality that has reached out. But it really starts with them reaching out to us to forge a real good public-private partnership.
It's going to be a special day later today, about 3:30, the groundbreaking out in Clarksville, a project that will have a great facility for Austin Peay and a great ice facility for everybody to use and play to grow the sport. That's coming up later today out in Clarksville. I'm fortunate enough to be a part of it. And Sean, getting to sort of the root of why you build one of these and sort of tying it in with what we've been saying with, you know, the caseload going up, I know how hard the people, and starting with Danny and on down, though, and the staff coming in there and helping out, how hard everybody's working to keep those places open so the kids can keep playing and taking the measures it's I know it takes extra effort, but as you said, it's so important to be able to keep these opportunities out there for people to have the recreation and the passion to play.
You know, it really is, and because we're all missing the same thing, right? We're missing normalcy, and we all keep using the same words. So we are showing that if we do things a certain way, you can do them, and you can do them safely. You know, it's social distance or mask. Ideally, do both, but at a minimum, you got to mask up. And I'm just so excited. The people that use our facilities, from casual skaters to figure skaters to hockey players of all ages and their families, they've been so good and so excited the first time we opened. They're willing to get changed in the parking lot and come on in. But now we are getting a little bit lax. And when I say we, you know, as a community, and now you're seeing a few other emails coming in saying, hey, how come we can't get there an hour early? My kids want to do this. Well, there are things I want to do too, but we still have to be, you know, safer than anyone else is being. And by doing so, we've stayed open for 6 months. That's just been incredible, and it's a testament to the staff, like you said, but also the, you know, people that are using it. We've literally had maybe four issues of someone saying they refuse to wear a mask because of X, Y, and Z. And you know what? Don't come. It's just that simple. You hate to ever be that callous, but if you are going to be that schmuck, you have no place being in a place with other people. That could ruin it for all of us, because we all want the same thing. If that means we have to go through a minor inconvenience about throwing some, you know, piece of cloth over our face, let's do it, because we should just move forward that way. And, you know, we get a few people from time to time, some real and some, let's face it, fibs, saying, well, I can't wear a mask because of this medical reason, which I feel so badly for the people that that's actually valid. At the same time, there might be safer places for people to be than in a place where you can't wear a mask, where, you know, you're putting a few people together. So, again, we've had four or five small incidences where, you know, people were not excited about wearing a mask and, you know, almost ruined the whole day. And we almost had to shut down once or twice. But the more cooperative we are together, the more we all walk through a few inconveniences to get to where we want to go, the faster we can get back to what we all like to do.
And that same mindset, I know with some of the promos we're doing, you know, wear the mask so that we can get back to going to watch the games that we love. And, of course, that includes the Predators games. And I'm sure right now the wheels are turning amazingly at a high level behind the scenes to try to figure out the plan for the league as they try to get started back in January. But a big part of the formula, right, is just do what we can to control the caseload, right? If we think about others and think about what we want to do, it all comes back to that same thing.
That's it, exactly. And it's funny how, you know, we all try to find our own reasons why we shouldn't do something, no matter what it is. And we got to find, we got to follow the current science. And if, you know, whatever we're doing today might change tomorrow, and we got to be willing to do that and not jump all over someone because we're doing a 180 tomorrow and another one on, you know, Thursday and Saturday. Because as we learn more, we got to change and adapt. And the more we do that, you know, the more we're going to be open. But it's been so much fun the past 6 months to be in the center of all of our league conversations and working with, you know, statewide, you know, arenas and stadiums and venues across our state. And then, of course, with our own league, saying, hey, look, this is what we could do. This is what we should do. This is what we should consider. And then knowing that we'll have to adapt that. But it all does come down to a mask. And right now, the number of people that we could get together in one place would be higher than what is actually being allowed if the CDC and the local Board of Health had a higher level of confidence that people would wear their masks. But it's still crazy. We've all been places where we're like, why does that guy not have a mask on? It makes no sense. But that's the reason that some of the crowds are capped at a certain level, because there's not a high enough confidence in those that are really charged with our safety and making sure that people will wear masks. So that's why I love what you guys are doing, and you're going to see a relaunch of us, you know, doing some mask promotions too. And by the way, if you don't have your 102.5 mask, it is the best mask.
It's a great mask. That's my go-to. It's so well made. Yeah.
Yep. Someone asked me the other day, you know, I keep seeing you in that. Do you work for 102.5? I keep sending my resume. The butt throws it in the trash, but I do have a mask.
Yeah, my dad keeps taking them from me. I've had like three or four of them because my dad likes them. So I give them to him.
Awesome. So at the Mike Fisher shooting event we had 2 weeks ago, obviously you guys were there supporting it, of course. and you were giving out some giveaways, the masks were the number one thing that went, because they really are. They're superior to anyone else's.
Sean Henry is with us, the president.
Well, I mean, Chase was speechless by that.
I was.
I know, man.
I really
was.
Blown away.
On that one.
That doesn't happen a lot, as Sean knows. Sean Henry, the president and CEO, here with us. Something that the league does, and then you all have done a tremendous job with every November, and I it's weird not seeing the lavender jerseys on the ice and a lot of the things in the arena, but Hockey Fights Cancer is obviously very important to everyone and to like I said, the league and to the team. So you guys are still continuing that tradition, doing a lot of different things, even though we're not all together. What can people do to participate in Hockey Fights Cancer?
Just give, give, and give. And it really is that simple. But I was so proud of our league and all of our teams when we got together and said, let's still do Hockey Fights Cancer instead of us all taking one game in November. And obviously we take another one normally in March. And instead of just losing that one game, it was, let's make all 30 days in November a Hockey Fights Cancer celebration. Each team's doing it a little bit differently. But, you know, for us each week, we have different auction items that are up there. Ways to give, you know, buy your foam pucks. You can go by Ford Ice Center in Bellevue and drop a puck in the net and you get one to take home. You get the signs for who you fight for. We have the cancer bell out at Antioch. And when you hear that thing ring, it's exciting because it means someone's celebrating, you know, another day, another week, another month, another year that they're cancer free. So there are so many different ways to give, but just follow, you know, Preds Foundation on social media or visit our website. Or yours, you guys do a great job of repeating it too. But every day there's an opportunity to show your passion and remembrance of someone that you may have lost. There's an opportunity to give, because we got to keep driving money into the research coffers to make pediatric cancer a thing of the past. And then, of course, there's an opportunity just to give where we can do something fun for the kids and the families that are in a fight they shouldn't be in right now. And then each week we're featuring a different mayor of Smashville from years past from Hockey Fights Cancer. And the young man that we featured in my first Hockey Fights Cancer almost 10 years ago was featured just the other day. And, you know, now he's a 27-year-old, healthy, strong man. And it's incredible when you see that happen. And to hear him talk about what it was like when he was 16 or 15 years old, when he was featured as the guy and his prognosis was not great. It really is pretty moving, and you realize our fans created that story. Our fans are the ones that generated millions and millions of dollars for us to put in the research buckets for Vanderbilt, and the outcomes are changing. So I just want to say thank you to all of Smashville for joining with us despite not having games.
And if you want to participate in the silent auction, you can text PREDS to 76278. And there are different items that you can bid on and purchase. And also go to NashvillePredators.com/365fund for they have all of that stuff: Hockey Fights Cancer T-shirts, bracelets, magnets, and beanies. Even get the Team Pecs and the Team Bones hats. Very cool that those two guys, Nick Bonino, Pecorine, did. I guess that was last year that they had those hats that you could get. I think what's so, I guess, cool to me about when this all started, and you said 10 years ago was your first one, I mean, it felt like it was, okay, it was pink for breast cancer, and then there was Movember and all of that. Now it's just all rolled into one of cancer is cancer, and you guys are doing so much to help with the research and try and fight all types.
Yeah, unfortunately, and I wish this wasn't the case, but neither I nor you or anyone listening right now knows somebody that hasn't been touched by cancer in a very negative way. And we need to change that. Now, the good news is the outcomes are changing, and they're changing quickly because of people's generosity for the research. And the work that our scientists and doctors are doing is nothing short of incredible. Just in a 10-year window, when you look at the survival rate of pediatric cancer, it's jumped, I think, 10-15%, which is incredible. But the problem is, there are still ways to go. And for every percentage point under 100 means thousands and thousands of lives being disrupted in the worst possible way. So, you know, it doesn't matter what type of cancer, it's bad, period. And from personal standpoint, I think when pediatric cancer, you talk about it, they're all awful. But, you know, no child should have to go through this. and then the effects it has for the whole family is just devastating. So let's just keep taking it on, keep raising money, keep wearing different colors. But in the end, if we have an opportunity and you have the means to give to help push back on cancer, let's do it.
Well said, Sean. Well said.
Thank you.
Yes.
That was an affirmation from Chase McCabe on Thursday.
There you go. That's all you need. I know it's a big day for the organization, big day for Clarksville. Going to be awesome with the groundbreaking. And, Sean, I say this every time we talk, but I mean it. I really hope we see you at the rink very, very soon.
There is nothing I want more than to see you and everyone else, because there's nothing more fun than high-fiving a stranger or jumping out of your seat or just seeing – so many people that, you know, like being together. So I can't wait for that to be the case soon. And until then, you know, as we start returning to play, you know, players are training right now and camps, you know, just around the corner, and games will return pretty soon. I'm just so thankful that our fans will be able to try to celebrate this game and jump through the hoops that we'll all have to do as we find, I hate saying this, but our new norm.
Darren and I miss Barrel House too. So we're ready to get back there. Appreciate the time.
I miss Barrel House after the wins. I don't miss it after the losses, as you know.
I know. I know. Appreciate it, Sean.
Guys, thank you so much. And Willie, maybe we'll see you up in MoCo on the Facebook Live. Thanks, guys.
I will be there. And I will have the gold rolling. As we call it, as Terry Crisp likes to call it, the full passion. Right? I'm going all gold. I'm going all gold today. When you go all gold, it's full passion.
Amen there. I love the full passion. See you guys.
Sean Henry, the president and CEO of the Nashville Predators, joining us. And again, Hockey Fights Cancer. You can go to NashvillePredators.com/365fund for more information. We'll have more coming in hour number two. But first, Darren, give us a word.
The Major Golf Tournament is underway. We're going to have a leaderboard for you here coming out of the break, along with pro and college football. There will be no shortage of action for the next 4 days. DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook, wants to put you right in the center of it all. To celebrate Sunday's action, DraftKings is ensuring all new users are covered up to $100. Once again, that's right, you heard me right. You bet. They cover you risk-free Sunday betting on all of Sunday's action. DraftKings will have a special promotion and an odds boost every day of this year's tournament in Augusta, Georgia. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use the promo code 1025GAME when you sign up, and that will ensure your Sunday bets up to $100 are risk-free. That code again, 1025GAME. During sign-up for a limited time, only a DraftKings Sportsbook. You must be 21 years of age or older, Tennessee only, risk-free coverage paid out, and site credits restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Our NFL Game of the Week, right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, which is brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue and Gary Force Acura. Our game will be the 49ers and the Saints. Coverage will begin at 3 p.m. on Sunday, kickoff at 3:25. So keep that in mind when you're searching for the NFL Game of the Week on Sunday. Of course, Titans will not be playing on Sunday. They'll be playing tonight against the Colts. But right now, let's check in to a Augusta National. Elijah's not there. He's at our Wholesale Link Game Studios. But he's going to give you a leaderboard update.
I am in Augusta in spirit, my friends. This is the Masters Leaderboard Update brought to you by Music City Golf in Bellmead, home of all your golfing needs. And gentlemen, we have a lead change. A clear lead. Lee Westwood is in first right now through 8 holes. He is 4 under on the day. Followed up in a two-way tie at second with Paul Casey and Rafa Cabrera-Bello, who are sitting at 3 under. Brant Snedeker, familiar face, tied for 4th right now at 2 under through 9 holes. Hanging around is also Webb Simpson at 2 under through 9 holes, and Scotty Scheffler. An update on our friend Jazz. Jana Wadenand is at 1 under, only 3 strokes behind the lead, and our favorite golfer, I know for mine at least, Tiger Woods, through 5 holes, is at 1 under. Was at 2 under earlier. I think he must have bogeyed to go back down to 1, but Tiger is still technically tied for 10th, along with Jordan Spieth, Tony Finau, Xander Schauffele, and Matt Kuchar. And that is your Masters Leaderboard update.
Do you want Jazz to go away so you don't have to keep saying his name. Would you like to see him
I don't.
Kind of fade?
It'd be bittersweet if he did fade. I kind of have some weird enjoyment trying to say it. I like the challenge, so I kind of hope he does stay up there. And because I've been hyping him up now, so he's got to win.
Okay. I think that's a good mindset. That's a good mindset.
I like
Take
it,
the challenge.
Speaking of a challenge, there may be a challenge facing – well, they're not maybe. There will be probably a challenge facing the Titans tonight at Nissan Stadium. I don't know if you guys have been following the line today. As I sit here and look at DraftKings, the Colts are a 1.5-point favorite.
Oh, is it 1.5 now?
What's going on? I mean, it's been as high as the Titans by 2 this week, and now it has shifted completely the other direction, and the Colts are favored by 1.5. Is this simply because T.Y. Hilton is playing? Like, what am I missing? What's happened?
I don't know. Like, because last night I saw it at Titans by 2, and now on BetMGM, Colts by 1 is what I have, so... You said it's 1.5 on DraftKings?
I'm currently looking at it right now. It's Indianapolis by 1.5.
Wow. Yeah, there's been a lot of movement there.
What do we make of that? Why?
What's
the sudden movement on Indianapolis? What's changed?
Well,
I don't know.
I have no idea, but we do know that the Colts are a team that, especially from a rankings perspective, statistically – is probably better than their record, and the Titans probably are a little bit overachieving. I think you could make that argument anyway. They've played on a razor's edge. They have made the most of their opportunities. We mentioned the turnover stat. The Titans are number one in the NFL in turnover margin. And you heard me ask Floyd this. You know, we know how the mathematicians work, right? They're wary of a stat like that. I do think there is such a thing as a ball-hawking defense, and there's such a thing as an offense that doesn't turn it over, right? And I think the Titans have that to a degree. But when you're that high, when you're plus 10 after 8 games, there is a sense from the mathematicians that you are likely to regress a little bit. The Colts are an interesting team. They are plus 4, so no slouch. They're on the right side of the ledger, but they've turned it over a bunch. They have caused themselves losses by turning it over. But by the same token, they can get turnovers. So that's always a key stat in any game. It goes without saying. But I want to see tonight, can the Titans still maintain that edge, which is a major, major factor in them being 6-2, the turnover margin.
Yeah, I agree. That's what they got to do. That's been their bread and butter this year, is the turnover margin. So you got to do that, and it goes back to one of our keys of rattling Phillip Rivers. If you make him throw those bad passes that you can pick off or bat down or what have you, I mean, that's going to be what leads them to victory or helps lead them to victory. Not to mention, you know, getting Henry going and Tannehill and the offense bouncing back as well.
They also the other thing that has jumped out at me is the reaction from our perspective. We've had a bunch of Indianapolis perspective this week, and they've all said the same thing about their offensive line. It's got all the hype, right? Their offensive line is the centerpiece of their offense. It's what's supposed to make them go. They've pass protected well,
but they can't run.
But they have not run the ball well.
So it can't be that good.
So that's what a lot of people are saying. Is it just Marlon Mack? Or are they overrated? What's the deal? Why can't they run the ball? But that's going to be a major, major stat. We've focused a lot on Derrick Henry against a rushing defense that allows only 3.3 yards per carry. They are outstanding at stopping the run. What happens in that matchup? But also on the other side, can the Titans continue the same path that other teams have had success with, and that's not to allow Phillip Rivers to get any support from the run game?
I'm going to play a game with you guys after we do Silly Underdog Picks, where we are going to chart the games at home against the Colts over the years, since they've been playing at Adelphia, LP, Nissan Stadium, fill in the blank name, since the stadium opened. I don't think you're going to believe or like what you hear when we look at home games against the Colts. We already know the records are very lopsided. But let's just focus on how Tennessee has fared in Nashville. We'll do that after Silly Underdogs, but we'll come back. We'll start the third hour of Darren Donick and Chase. Silly Underdog Picks. That's next.
L-E-T-E-N-E-T. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.